Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, every Chase Elliott fan out there has no concerns. He's got his ride just fine because there's no pressure being put on him by anybody else filling that seat. But it was a wild week. Definitely a great experience. I'm going to dig into all that and give you guys a peek behind the curtain of what that was like. Bit of a disappointing day and weekend on my end. We've got a new points leader at 12 car leading the charge, but Rowdy Bush gets the dub this weekend at St. Louis. This is Stacking Pennies. I am Corey LaJoy. Let's go.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back for some more. A lot of stuff to get into today. I'm Corey LaJoy, driver of the 9 car this past weekend. A bit of a tough stretch. A lot of stuff working against us, but wasn't what we had all anticipated, myself included. But we'll get into that in a minute. I'm joined by the normal band of characters. Chuck Bush.
Why was 6 afraid of 7?
Because 7, 8, 9.
Boom.
Great joke.
He drives the 7 car, and he was in the 9 car. So it was
And the 8 car won.
Yeah, bad joke.
Not a bad joke.
Yeah.
Definitely fits the context of this conversation. John Merriman.
Why are you being so nice to Chuck today? That was a joke.
It's generally you were mean to.
I know.
Just because you had one good joke before the show started.
I don't remember that. How you doing?
And then the championship leading right front or front tire changer, Ryan Flores.
Change both fronts.
I know, both.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Where'd y'all finish?
Sixth. I feel like we lost control of the race on pit road too, which sucked. 24 beat us on a sequence, and then the 11 kind of jumped us on a restart. Yeah.
Taking twos or fours?
I think taking the 24 beat us on four. It was the only one that we think that was the only four tire spot we lost all day. Then on the last one, man, I'm like the 34, right?
He's took just two like, sets of rights.
He's just like a thorn in the side, which is exactly what he needs to do. But it's like I stood up and he cut us off, and I was like, 34. But like, good for him because that's what you know. Him and Petey,
you got to fight.
You know, that's what they're gonna. That's what they're gonna do. That's what they get paid to do. But man, because I thought we had a shot to maybe get the 24 on that sequence and put us back up in contention. But who would have thought? You know, if you could predict the future, you do what Cliff did, take two, and really any long green flag runs at the end. So,
Yeah, that was one thing in hindsight we looked back, talked about doing differently. But I had a big week, Chuck. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I'd heard rumblings and saw some things on the internet.
We can get into a bit of a chronological.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's get into my week. So
because we found out here.
Found out here officially, right, about 3 o'clock, get the call, it's happened. Get with Alan. Alan calls me, talked to him for a bit. They took my seat out of the gateway car and plugged in the old 9 car and was in there about 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning. And when I got the call, man, there was like, it was a lot of emotions. It was weird. It was a bit scary. A lot of self-doubt crept in, surprisingly. Just like, all right, how's it going to go? You going to do good? All these things of something that's so far out of your comfort zone and something that you didn't think that was ever going to happen, right? Ever. It's just Tuesday morning, you wake up, it's just business as usual. You're talking about what setup you're taking with the 7 car. We did this, our sim session the previous week, trying to get a decent balance fix there. And then all of that's just flipped on its head and you get plugged into a system that's, you know, on the 90 yard line. But we go, you know, we do the podcast, couldn't really wrap my head around what all was happening. It's just like, holy, you just like, it's happening. I don't know what's going to happen. Who knows?
So we left the podcast.
Yeah.
And I walked out and we were parked next to each other in the parking garage and you were on the phone with Chase. So what'd Chase say when he called you?
Hey, just like, man, it stinks about the circumstances it's under. But he's like, man, I'm glad they picked you. You know, you've been grinding for a long time. And now you can do a good job. I said, you know, we've been struggling for the last couple months, but I know you're going to do us a good job and get the most out of it. So we talked a little bit more. That was the extent of that. So we get home and kind of shut the phone off and was just like hanging out with the kiddos. And I was getting in bed like 9:15, 9:30, and I got a voicemail from an unsaved number, right?
Well, I called you.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I missed the call.
Yeah. It like it like 9:15, you called me. Yeah, he just left a voicemail. So I listened to the, you know, hey, Corey, it's Rick Hendrick. Just, you know, wanted to say thanks for helping out with the 9 car. And I was like, I missed the freaking call. But damn. Then I got the voice. Yeah, I got the voicemail. So I guess I keep that for old time's sake. Not saying that it's a weekend that I want to remember, but it's cool that to just be driving, have Rick Hendrick say that you're driving one of his cars, right?
Did you call him back?
I called him back the next morning. So I told Kelly, though, it's like, I feel like when you – she didn't really understand the reference, but you probably will, and you will. Like when you're playing, and you will. When you're playing like NASCAR 2004 career mode, and you start with like the lowest team, and then you like run decent, and you get like the next best team, yeah, and then like another team, and then you get like this notification on your phone that Rick Hendrick's calling you to drive. Like I literally felt like that way on Tuesday night. Like this is an absurd moment.
Well, Bora used to tell the story too when Richard called him wherever he was working, he thought one of his buddies was prank calling.
Yeah,
him.
So muffler shop.
It's got to be surreal.
Yeah, and just to hear Rick's voice on the other end of the phone was bizarre. So got up early, worked out, was driving over to the shop. They wanted me to be over there at like 7:30. So I was driving over there, and I was like, I'll see if Rick's up. So I called him at like 7:15. Of course, he was up. I said, hey, Rick, to say that it's a dream come true to drive for you, it would be an understatement. Yeah, I'm excited for the opportunity, and you know, I hate how it all came about, but I appreciate you giving me the nod to do it. And he's like, yeah, thanks for helping out. When are you going over there to get fitted up? And I was like, I'm on the way over there right now to get with Alan and do some pre-race stuff. We're going to go to the DIL and see what we got. And it's like, they've never been past a gift shop at that place. I'm excited to see what it's all about. That was it. We rolled into the shop and we got to business, but walk in there and you know, their shop is freaking sweet.
Oh, it's sick. Yeah.
And how it's all organized. And they got, you know, the 5s room, the 24s room, the 48s room, and the 9s room. And like it's like kind of like Google in a way of like they have just
full campus. It's like like a college campus. So when you got there, like where'd you go? Who let you in the door?
I just walked right in. Like I was, you know, buying a Jeff Gordon t-shirt.
Just right in the front, like the front of the 9 shop?
Yeah.
And they weren't like, hey, stop, who are you?
No, I think the secretary recognized who I was. She just took me back there. Then they had people sitting there waiting on me. Like, hey, here's this tire carrier's uniform that might be close for you. So I just wore some tire carrier's.
Yes.
Yeah, I got the full experience.
I love that. Should have given you a two-piece.
Colleen from Thermal Control was there. She like added like 4 inches to the legs, you know, and like it was just.
That's got to be cool to see Colleen because
they've helped me out along the way from Thermal Control, Paul and Colleen Matt. So I get in there, right, and they have like you go into Alan's, like their office, the 9 team's office, and they have like dry erase boards, and they have like it looks like Einstein's laboratory of just stuff and equations and graphs written on the wall, and they just have all these things hanging of like, and everybody's just TV screen or computer screens and monitors going, and the race is playing. It's like, oh, these guys are like mean business.
Yeah.
And that was palpable as soon as you walk in. It's like, okay, there is a collective focus in this building, whether it's admin, whether it's teams or engineers or pit crew. Like there's one objective, and that's to be the best at making race cars go around in circles. So I was a bit apprehensive going in there of just like not knowing what to expect. And, you know, they start laying out. It's like I've had this slow drip of just driver information or pre-race data or stuff like that, like bloop, bloop, bloop. And it was like you turn the fire hose on of just all these different things and channels that I've never even seen or even knew existed. And then we looked at some of that stuff and just talked about how we're going to approach the weekend. And
how much of it was pertinent to like right now that you could digest and actually put into the weekend? And how much is it like, oh, I could use that all year?
Yeah. So it's hard to tell because I think everybody looks at something different of what they want to.
Yeah.
Like some guys might look at wheel angle and lateral acceleration. Some guys might look at previous trends or SMT data. So I think the more time you have to spend with that sort of data, the more you could just figure out what channels you want to look at. Because talking to Chase afterwards, he's like, I don't look at most of that stuff. I got my couple things and
yeah,
that's it. So you can kind of get bogged down with just the amount of data that they have to give you. So we went to the sim. We spent from like 8:30 to 10:30, and you'd run all four setups. You'd kind of pick the one you like that kind of fits your driving style. And so you knew, so I knew that William Byron ran like a 33-24 with his setup, right? So you get in there and you run a 33-35, and you know that there's a 10th in it. So you just start figuring out, okay, this is how he brakes. This is how he applies the wheel. And so I start like learning some little things to get down and make some lap time like he does. And fast forward to, so we end up going with the nines and tweaking on it. We made some changes that ultimately probably weren't the best direction just because the DIL gave us a little bit of a false read.
What's DIL stand for?
Driver in the loop.
Mm.
Yeah, driver. So the sim system they build the race cars with is just is a simulation system, but when you put the driver in the loop of the simulation loop, that's okay. What the DIL simulator is, right? So we get at Spire, we get static rig testing every week. They have multiple blocks a week on the motion rig, so you can kind of hone in a little bit.
So you were in the motion rig, the one that looks like Leighton McQueen's?
Yep. So we were in that for a couple of hours and got to where I could run what William was running in terms of speed, so I felt good about that, and I left like, okay, like I'm going to be able to do it here. Like I feel like I can make pace. I feel like I know what to expect because of all the racetracks I had to pick to drive the nine car, this would be the last one I would pick just because it's essentially the first time I've been there because last year we blew up lap 30.
Yeah.
So I just didn't get a lot of time and didn't get a good feel for the place. So going back, I'm like, of course I'm driving. This is like my one opportunity in a place that is where I had the least amount of laps, right?
And it's a track that if you don't have track position, you're not going to get track position. It's not a lot of opportunity to flip stages or get track position.
Yeah. So then, right, we leave Wednesday and it's like, okay, I feel good about it. Like I feel like now seeing their systems and their processes and just how deep they are with personnel and how refined their just approaches. It's like, I think that I understand how guys can get in the system, learn and grow and develop into champions, right? You look at a William Byron, you look at, Alex Bowman's an 8-time winner, developed Chase into a champ, made Kyle Larson into a champ. Like, it's like, okay, these guys aren't superhuman. They just are really good at their craft and they're in a really good group and they can figure it out. So I was like, okay, let's get to work. Go there.
You fly out Friday?
Flew out Friday on the Hendrick plane.
How was that?
With Kelly. They got nice snacks.
What do they?
They got good
healthy snacks.
Healthy
probably.
Snacks, yeah. So I sat next to Kelly, but she slept the whole time. So I talked to Cliff.
Oh, just talk about kickball,
dude. Cliff, it ain't no room to talk kickball.
Locked in,
dude. Like, but everybody. I mean, Alan, and everybody has their own personalities. But I can understand why that side of the garage, like, there's no room for fluff because there's no excuses if you don't win, at least on a regular basis, because there's nothing they lack. And I can also see, I had a better understanding. I told Chase this yesterday when we talked on the phone after those meetings, is like, I can understand too why he is the way he is. And I mean, this is a compliment, like, to the media. He's not super outgoing. He's not doing all these different stuff, because when you're there, man, you are overloaded to an extent of driver input data from Saturday to Sunday, right? And anything that you do that's aside from studying or trying to get better, it's taking away from the overall competition side. Yep. So I got a bit of a peek into that, and I could understand that, why he is the way he is, and just guys in general on that side of, like, I don't really want to do that because I'm concentrating on the competition side. So we get to practice, right, and there's so many people offering advice and this and that.
Oh, everybody's putting their 2 cents.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. And, you got guys, when I filled in for this guy or that guy, 1987, you just got to get in there and drive the car, like, okay, sure, pal.
What'd your dad say to you in that vein?
We didn't talk very much. So there's the old school train of thought of, like, just get in there and run 90%, the car will do the work. There might have been 10% of gap between the guys who were in 15th to bottom of the field cars back in 1998 to 2005. But Now the car, there's not that much of an increase with this next gen car, because now we run 17th to 21st any given week in the 7 car, right? But when we would run 21st or 20th, we were, prior to the next gen car, a second off the pace. Now we're 4/10 off the pace, so you're that much closer to the field, so the jump isn't that.
When you had, before a next gen car, 17th to 21st in a 7 car was a good day.
Yeah.
We were getting older. That was an attrition day.
Yeah, we were getting older Ganassi cars and just wasn't like what we have now.
And we've talked about it at length. If you were in a Gibbs car, Hendrick car, one of those top teams, you were almost guaranteed a top 15.
Yeah, and you just go in there and step.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now everybody's got the same stuff.
Everybody's got the same
stuff.
You don't
have better chassis, you don't have better aero, you don't have better underbody. Like, everybody's got the same stuff.
Yep. And it's just a matter about now. The relationship that you have with your crew chief and engineer makes it even more paramount of them giving you the balance feel that you need as a driver tendencies.
Which became apparent later in the race, but in practice, so you roll out for first practice. Now, where they run, even though all the cars are the same, how much stuff was different?
Everything so they took my seat and leg brace out of the Gateway car and put it in that one. So seat-wise, it was the same. Dashboard stuff was in a different spot. So the boat switch, which is the on and off switch, ended up in a brick in the race the first lap. So we roll the top. I'll get there in a second. Remind me to get back to
Let's
that.
Go to practice. Practice. The race next.
All right, so you just lay down what would be – generally when I approach practice with our car, I just – unless I know we're in the first group and the track's clean and you can go put a PR lap up there, yeah. I'm not going to go really hammer a 98% lap, right? So I go lay down a 95% lap. They're shifting with those cars. It was a little bit new and different to get used to. It took a little bit more.
I saw you one time off of two. Whoa.
Well, you're between third and fourth gear shift there. And the way they do it, the timing was off for me. It was a little bit unnatural. So it took me pretty much all of practice to get settled in with that. The five actually went back to what he was comfortable with. And I stuck with the other system. So there was a little bit to get used to that. So I laid up, 95% lap down and we're 30th, right? And it's like, okay, well, let's see what kind of long run pace it's got, and just probably a little bit excited, overcharging the corner a little bit, but just unattached on the entry, couldn't quite turn. So we didn't feel very good. We're looking at SMT, and it's like, man, I'm getting in a little bit deeper, but I don't feel like I'm doing anything I wouldn't be doing with the other car. So go to qualify and thought we had a good draw. However the metric worked out, and on the get up to speed lap, I went into three and I had some tension on the shifter, anticipating it to fall on the fifth, and when I lifted a turn off from the corner, didn't realize it didn't, and was in fourth. So I went to downshift twice to go to third, and I was in second, so it chopped the rears off of it. Yeah, and I was 2/10 off getting to turn one, so then I just overdrove it trying to make up for it. And just damn.
Coming to the green, there's an art to getting more speed coming to the green, too.
You can get more speed coming to the green than you can coming to the checkered, because you can open turn three-way up and get a big run at it, and gave all of that up.
Yep.
So then it's like,
so then you try to get more, and that's when you overcommit throttle and get in the fence a little bit all four.
Yeah, right? So you're just trying to salvage a lap when it was killed from the jump, and you should have just aborted a mission, but
nobody sees that, though.
No, and there's no excuse, right?
No,
it's just like,
no.
Just
what happened.
Everything going on with all that, it's just I made a mistake. So get a terrible qualifying effort. Then we have our post-practice and qualifying debrief, right, and where everybody's kind of going over their balances. And Alan and I were looking at the one, and the one looked pretty good on average. And they can see all the people, and, like, let's just go ahead and, like, gravitate towards that. I think Ross's style and my style are similar. Let's just go put the one in, just because I didn't get a great feel of what the car needed, and get in the race and come off turn. So we had a decent start, rolled a couple on the outside, come off turn four, and went to go reach for the shifter, and my pinky, so when my hand was on the shifter of that car, the shifter was probably an inch and a half closer to the dashboard, which Chase runs a taller shifter, so his hand was above it, but my hand was right at the level of where the boat switch was, the on and off key, and when I went to go reach for the shifter, I hit it with my pinky and knocked it completely off. Yeah, it knocked all the power off of it. And it took me like a couple seconds to realize, like, okay, everything just shut right off. What happened? And you're looking around, ECU switch is up and everything. It's like, damn it. Okay. There's a switch. Let's turn it.
Yep.
So they're actually changing how they install the switches going forward of all their cars just because they've never had somebody's hand that close to it before.
How much did that cost you?
Nothing. I mean, well, we went
came
from,
out and then you pitted, right?
Well, we went from, I think we rolled from 20th or 30th to probably 25th or 4th the first lap.
It's a big deal.
And then we go and say, okay, well, now we lost all our track position. Let's pit. And then you start literally last.
Yeah.
And you could never, we could never get over the hump. We just were loose and loose in, loose off, and kind of just swung at it all day and couldn't quite hit it. And never felt like we were in a good enough position to put rights on it and get track position. But we talked about it in hindsight of that was probably worth the shot of just getting it up there because we raced around guys who were able to hang on 34, 21.
Five,
yeah.
I mean, you and the five were right next to each other at the second stage.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the difference between a team being built around a guy
and
not, right? That's where continuity is key.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously Cliff knows the verbiage that Kyle's using, and he kind of knows from previous every race that they've been working together of like, okay, what adjustments when he says this is what I need to give him here to the pit stop. And then the internet goes out, and they lose SMT altogether, and they use time and scoring, so now they're just kind of flying blind, and we just couldn't quite get anything.
That was
anything.
My next question.
Couldn't
was
get
like,
anything going.
When the internet went out, the whole track lost it. Like, we didn't have pit stop film. Yeah. There was nothing. How much, like, in your debrief with them, how much did that hurt the communication flow for Alan and be able to make adjustments?
So he didn't realize how big of a swing the other cars were going to make gains, right? Air
yeah.
pressures or wedge adjustments or things like that. So you're kind of just poking at it as opposed to just grabbing it and trying to just make something happen
yeah.
where the other cars migrated a little bit of a different direction. And, you know, I think him and I both were just anticipating there being more pace in me of just trying to get it going, but I just wasn't comfortable with the balance of in and off and just couldn't make speed.
It looked yeah. like you were driving pissed off there the last 25 laps, though. I mean,
we were on a tire advantage there because we just kept putting four on at that point in time. We had no track position, so it's like, okay, if you're going to at least not be on the defense, at least put four on it and just go. But, man, it wasn't a great weekend. I mean, none of – Larson ran fourth, but like you said, like those guys know.
That's why the shifter got Bowman at the end.
Yeah, the shifter got Bowman, got stuck in second. So, you know, just and I don't think anybody really collectively thought that everybody was happy with their balance. But, yeah, it was definitely – I wouldn't say it was a character builder because I think I have plenty of character. But it was definitely something where, like, I didn't expect to go win. I didn't expect to go – I thought that it would be tough to run 10th. It's just – it's a different approach, but this car, I think now, is as important to having a good relationship with your engineer and crew chief of knowing what the drivers feel is going into the weekend than the overall car. And like, there's not special oil tanks or truck arms or,
yeah.
you know, track bars that have widgets in it and doors that move like they're not supposed to. Like, those tricks are gone. That those big teams used to really hone in on and have.
There's a couple engine knack of ducks that people would argue with.
Yeah, I mean, there's tricks, right? There's certain guys do, but when you go to a place that like that where they're not super helpful, then you're really relying on just the established relationship of what you expect, right? Because you go do the DIL and you feel like it, you tailor to that, and then you go to the racetrack, and then Alex and William and myself think like, shoot, the driving style on the sim wasn't even close to what the grip level was in reality. So now we tuned a little bit to that, and then it just sets you up for a tough weekend.
The question that I had that I was kind of, you know, kicking around in my head while watching the race and then over the past couple of days, when you look at you and Carson Hocevar that was in your car, my question with him is he too fresh to like, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't have anything coming into it, right? So everybody's like, oh, he did such a great job driving this car from here up to 16th. But the way you're approaching it, in my mind, from what I'm seeing, is, all right, you've got the crew chief relationship. You've got all these things. Like, you have more knowledge in how a cup car should run and for a whole race, right? Like a 400-mile race, right? Is it that when you see somebody like that drive a car and make moves quickly and then have an issue and then his day's done? Like, is that just not knowing any better? And then you've got the experience of how many years is it now?
Six
years in a cup car.
I think his car. I think his car was good.
His car was really good, man. And let's be clear. I have spent a lot of emotional energy and time getting that team, and our short track setup has sucked. And we have worked hard since wherever we ran last to get some different rear geometry going, to get some different left rear package going, to work on some rear sway bar stuff. And then you work on that in the sim last week, and then you start having all these conversations on Friday and on Monday and on Tuesday, what are we going with? And then you're like, oh, you're going to drive the 9 car. It's like, okay, well.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Well, everybody.
All the stuff we've been working on for the last week and a half doesn't really matter.
But that relationship that you and Sparks have, yeah. Like it.
But also too, like I don't make and put food on the table for my family by being the fastest guy every week. I get the best finish for what the car has as often as I possibly can, right? And when you need to turn the wick up, I will turn the wick up. But I'm more apt to turn the wick up in a car that I'm comfortable with and with guys that I have a relationship with before I'm going to turn the wick up. I think Carson Hocevar probably could jump in the 9 car and ran a little bit faster than I did this weekend, just because I don't want to be the guy that backs the 9 car in the fence. Like, I don't – like, that's not my game. My game is getting speed out of the car when you need to and executing a full day. And for me, it sucked double time to see the 7 car in the fence, because I get paid off owner's points. And we lost 5 spots in owner's points. Who knows why the rotor broke. Most of the time it's probably because you don't bring the rotors up to temperature the correct way, and you run the fans when you're not supposed to.
Which is tough as a rookie.
Yeah, you just don't know, right? That stuff.
There's way more that goes into it than just getting through the corners fast.
Yeah.
But,
you know, but he was fast. He did a good job for a run.
But it wasn't you versus him.
No.
That's like people want to be like, well, look at Hocevar did. Core sucks. Like that. Like you look at Twitter, that's what it is, and that's what I've listened to a bunch of podcasts say that, and it's like, at the end of the day, it's not – Corey versus Carson Hocevar at the racetrack.
What? Carson
Hocevar was driving the car that the way you and Sparks are going to bring it there, and you want him to do well.
Yes, yeah, right.
Right? Well, your mission changed, but.
I texted you yesterday, and I mean, I didn't know how you were going to feel yesterday, right? And I was like, hey, bud, how's it going? And your response to me was, I've had worse Mondays. I was like,
yeah.
All right, well, and I talked to Skip earlier in the day, and we're like, he's like, I haven't talked to him. I was like, well, is he going to quit? No, he can't do that. He's got to put his head down and you know.
Yeah.
Why would you quit? If I had way better opportunities to quit than I did.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying, and you talk about stacking pennies all the time, and you talk about mental toughness and during, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month, like we've had those conversations here. What's your process as a professional athlete from the time that you climb out of that race car at Gateway, get on the plane, debrief with Hendrick Monday till you come here? What's that process like? How long do you sit in it? And, you know, what is, or do you sit in it at all?
Oh yeah, you got to sit in it for sure. I mean, you got to weigh the thoughts and the emotions that come along with a super disappointing day, right? Like you have expectations and you have standards that you hold yourself to, just no different than any other athlete, right? There's pressures and there's all the things that come along with it. And there's accolades you want to go achieve and you want to do a good job for your partners and everybody else. But I learned a long time ago, whenever I touch tarmac, wherever we're flying from, whether it's West Coast race, whether it's an hour flight, as soon as we touch down in Statesville, that's it. Like, I leave that in the past. I'll do our post-race debrief. But like those emotions and whether it be disappointment or excitement, on the contrary, it's like as soon as you touch down with that, man, it's like looking forward to the next one. And I have no – It's not a me versus him thing at all. It's just like, dude, we have built that place literally from the ground up. So
if it was you versus him, you finished 21st and he finished last.
So. That's it. I mean,
at the end of the day,
I was trying to figure out the wording fast on that, because I wasn't meaning it in that.
No, but you're not. I'm not saying you said it, but like that. Look, there are a lot of people.
Place.
Yeah.
No, it's but
at the end of the day, none of those guys are in the arena, man.
And at the end of the day, too. The internet, we do this for the fans, right? You go racing and you are a professional race car driver You're not going to do it if nobody's watching.
It's an entertainment
so
business.
You put yourself out there for people to judge you. That's what you're doing as a professional athlete. So when that happens, sometimes it's going to be bad, sometimes it's going to be good. And you have to be – the one thing that comes back to my brain all the time when we get called the pallbearers every week on our team is like, those who know.
Yeah.
Right? And that's
– Yeah, so I don't
– That's a big
the,
deal.
Usually the ones that I'm most frustrated is when I feel like I make mistakes or – don't do my job. And I feel like I did everything I could. And I made certain mistakes just from getting used to a car that I was uncomfortable with and unfamiliar with and a group that I was unfamiliar with. But, you know, on Mondays you go through and I can assure you this, the cup of coffee that I got at Hendrick Wednesday morning tasted way better than the cup of coffee I had on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Same coffee machine.
What kind of creamer they got?
You know, straight black.
Is that chip on your shoulder going to be bigger?
No.
We're going to Sonoma, which, you know, you're really good there.
I really hammer there.
But to me,
finished top 20 all the road courses last year.
Really?
Yeah, except one.
Fox did a good job of highlighting.
Kota, we broke a line.
Late in the race, the battle that was going on back there from like 20th to 30th. And like, to me, watching that, they were showing these 2-3 wide battles. And it's not like, you say it all the time, that hornet's nest back there, when you guys are fighting it out, like that's difficult. And those drivers that were back there at Gateway were not slouches. Like, so to me,
there's nobody slouches,
but you look at that, it was exciting racing. Yes. It was not up, you know, in 10th, 5th, whatever, but that racing, when you talk about that entertainment factor
at that point in time, those are the guys where it would generally bleed to on two tires, so those guys were being super defensive. Guys were on four back there trying to take advantage. And we just could never get over that hump. And we never took the shot of taking two and flipping that hump. But
you know who didn't have a bad day?
Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch did not have a bad day. Or freaking Randall.
No.
Winning his crew chief in the last 2 years.
Dude, those guys are rocking and rolling.
The A-team is rolling.
Yeah.
He got 3 wins last year with Tyler. Now he's at 3 with Kyle. There's nothing more dangerous for all the competitors than a
motivated Kyle Busch.
And a confident Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Oh, some guns win races again.
Yeah.
Merriman says this is the only race that he's actually won, though.
Said
he backed in like Alex Bowman did that time. Backed in.
No, that's not how I worded it at all. This is the first race he's Kyle Busch the field is what I said, where he showed up, laid down a heater in qualifying, yep, and basically, you know, took everybody.
Led to most laps.
Yep. Yeah, clean air is important, man. Position with these things are at a premium.
Dude, Gregson's wreck was scary. That was right in front of you.
Oh, dude, he augured in the fence.
You were bigger than you like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it coming?
No, that thing just went. Boom.
I always think about Jeff Gordon at Pocono.
Or Bubba at Pocono. Remember, he broke a road or two in August.
Jimmy did the same thing.
And took a left and just literally hit the wall freaking head on.
What? So, brakes get hot, then they get cold, then they get hot. Why there? Is it just because of the length of the straightaway and then how much brake pressure you spike it into the corner?
Yeah.
Could you fix that with pads or with cooling? Or what do you fix it with?
I think the misconception is you have to try to keep the rotors cool, but they're going to get hot regardless. So, when the rotors get hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold.
Then they break.
Then they get micro cracks,
and then they come apart.
Then they spread out and crack and come apart. So you want to keep the rotors hot, hot, and then you also want to keep them hot during the yellows. So if you turn your caliper and rotor fans on during the run and you leave them on, it cools them way down.
Yeah.
And then you get them right back instantly hot, and just that transition of hot and cold, I think you see. But I don't think that we should see those issues like we are. It's not good.
Well, where else do we see in Pocono?
Yeah. Yeah, places like that where if you misplace that brake switch or the brake tape.
Where else would that happen? Maybe a Loudon?
Maybe a Loudon, but you don't use as much brake pressure there, so you're not going to get them that hot.
And the straightaway is not as long.
Yeah.
Indy, but we don't run the oval at Indy anymore, unfortunately. I don't know where else you would see that much.
I mean, rarely do we see. I mean, road course stuff. You're always going to get the brakes super hot, so they're never going to fall below the point of getting to where they cool off enough to crack. Yeah. What about? I didn't even see a replay of the Cindric and the Austin on Austin.
I saw a picture of SMT this morning.
I saw what Austin put up on social media too.
I saw, from what I saw, there's lines like a video game, and Cindric's line is straight, and Austin's comes up. From what I saw on SMT, so like, it was weird because when I watched it, I was like, "Oh, like who would they put in the two car?" Because it wasn't 100% no, but it definitely wasn't as blatant as like what Chase or Bubba did. It seemed like it was just hard racing.
When you look at the SMT data, that's what it looks like, is that there's checking up going on in front of him, and then he gets up a little bit, and then Cindric's holding his line, and he gets into him. In the words of a lot of racers, it looked like just one of them racing deals.
Yeah. Was he trying to rattle his cage?
Richard Childress is like the quintessential, though, like short track, like street stock guy that gets mad and like has to be mad at somebody. Like, we're going to wring your neck. Like, he just like, he's just like typical. He's just a dude from Bowman Gray that got rich and owns a Cup team now. Yeah, like, he's still that mentality.
That's welcome, North Carolina.
He wrecked us. We're going to get him. It's like, whoa, okay.
Well,
which I like that. I love that for the sport.
It was definitely Austin's fault, though.
One of them.
Was it?
I don't know which one.
It was Austin's fault.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Pick one.
It was awesome.
Two or three.
Blame
all of them.
Two or three.
Definitely all of them. What else we got, Chuck?
But I think NASCAR made a right call not suspending them.
For sure. That's the can of worms we're up. It's like it's like when you're playing dodgeball in PE and somebody hits you in the face with dodgeball, you're not going to go cry to the principal. He hit me in the face.
You can't suspend somebody.
Headshots aren't blatant, allowed.
Though.
For sure.
The chases was blatant. When you go back and look at it, it was pretty blatant. So.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the can of worms. We don't need to be going to the principal's office asking for somebody to get suspended every time we get wrecked.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like when you look back at the race, the five car, when they finally started bleeding, it was that last short run. But if everybody knew that the last 40, 50 laps of the race were going to be run.
Everybody takes two.
30% under caution.
Yeah.
Right. And never, you had to like get the race going and then let it play out and build runs, get by guys. Everybody would have just taken two.
For sure.
But if we all could predict the future, we'd probably be doing different stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was that. It worked out for the five car. He finally bled back to fifth. We finished sixth. Ryan was pretty frustrated crossing the line because we felt like we were better than that.
Yeah.
If it swings a little bit different way, I think we win that race. But that's why it's racing and not winning.
Like you said, you got the points lead, though.
Points lead's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Points lead, regular season championship's a big deal. But
I mean, what is that? Like
halfway.
15? If you can
15 playoff points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's three wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a huge deal. So,
got the win. Now just points race, man.
I'm not in charge of that. I'm just,
it just changed.
Only worried about pulling tires good, getting wheels tight. So, yeah.
We had a pit road woe.
Let's hear all about it.
Right after
pit
this.
Road boats and woes.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pit road boats and woes time. Narrowest pit road that we go to this year, and it delivered again.
Sketchy.
It is sketchy.
I was like, and I don't know how the metric is made, and I want to talk to you about this. And I hate being like critical, because every week it's like, what could we do better? But like, I feel like at that pit road, we can slow the cars down 10 mile an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know how's that made, like, because of the amount of lap time.
No idea.
And delta on pit road.
No idea what sets that.
Because when I jumped out there the first time for like pit road check, I was like, whoa. And even like, Jackman was like, are those the other cars? Like, you know that joke?
Yeah.
Are those the other cars? From what's that? From
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. I was like, wow, okay. But yeah, I mean,
I think it was 50 miles an hour.
It's super tight. It's 45, so then it's 50 because you get 5 mile an hour buffer. Yeah. But the pit road's a foot tighter than Indianapolis, especially down there at the opening. That's where we saw 43 front tire changer Thomas Hatcher get hit. He was a teammate of mine for a long time, so it was tough to see once I kind of realized who was out there, who was laying there, and you go back and kind of all the videos surfaced, watch the helmet cam a couple times of what happened to him. And you take for granted how heavy and dangerous the tires are when you see these guys just carry two of them and throw them around.
Yeah.
Dude, you don't want to get hit with a tire.
No, they're hard.
At the end of the day, we can sit here and paint lines and do whatever you want on pit road, but we jump out in front of race cars for a living, and Eric Jones needed to leave a little bit more room for his guys to get through. So the 2/10 hit you take there by, you know, leaving a little bit more of a gap, probably 5 to 10 feet more.
You don't knock your car length. You don't remember into oblivion.
You gain a lot more, you know.
So he didn't give his guys enough gap to the car that was pulling in front of him. The three
car was right in front of him. Now, I don't want to jump too hard on him, because from what I understand, like the stop or two before that, when he was getting in pit road, maybe he left a little bit too much of a gap, and the 10 car drove into him when it could turn off.
Oh.
So that's a tough game down there.
Did he end up being okay?
He got taken. Like, he was out for like 30 seconds, dude. From what I understand, he got taken to the hospital and released, and he's okay, probably under concussion protocol. So, it was a rough day for those guys, and you never want to see anybody get hurt. But Thomas Hatcher's been in the sport a long time. He's a champion of the sport. He's won a lot of races. He was with Joey Logano for a long time, and he knows very well, maybe as good as anybody, how dangerous the sport is, how dangerous the job is, and he doesn't want to bubble wrap it. So he's full steam ahead. But the guys who did have a good day, 48 team.
Yeah.
They were fastest of the week, 9.7 average. It was tough to get averages this week because SMT going down. Well, you want to read them guys off?
We can read them off. You got the front changer, Donnie Tasser.
Dog.
Rear changer, Andrew Bridgeforth.
Dog.
Tire carrier, James Riddle.
Riddle's a dog. Quarterback at Elon, maybe? Is it Elon?
Sure, I don't know. I think he's on a half shell. He wears a half shell helmet.
He can freaking sling a pigskin, bro.
Yeah.
Dog.
Alan Holman, Jackman.
Dog.
And then the fueler, Jacob Conley.
Dog.
Gas man.
Gas dog.
Gas dog. Meow.
What about the eight guys?
The eight guys did a great job, but they didn't have the fastest.
So they weren't the top dogs.
They weren't the top dogs, but they were the in victory lane dogs. You know who were the top dogs out in France? The Garage 56 program?
What about them?
They just won the pit crew competition.
Did they?
Out there.
I saw that they were third or something. Did they have another one? Another go of it?
So they were fifth overall, but P1 in their
class.
So, yeah, that was a big deal.
So everybody else has air jacks probably.
Yeah, they don't. Dude, I'm telling you, these guys don't want none.
Who, the Frenchman?
Anybody else in the world that does pit stops does not want any of the smoke that goes down on pit road. I understand that F1 does pit stops in 2 seconds. They don't want the smoke.
This is the Wood Brothers going to Indy moment in my mind. Like back in the 60s? The Wood Brothers took the NASCAR pit stop to Indy and like was like, oh, here's what we did. Now we took this to Le Mans and we kicked some butt.
I believe it's pronounced Le Mans.
Le Mans.
Le Mans.
Le Mans.
Whatever.
But that's the first success of the Garage 56 program. That car's been fast out there, so that's really good. And it's cool to be able to showcase like some of the athletes on pit road. Those are Hendrick guys, so another win for Hendrick this week. And just 3/10 off of winning the whole thing. So that was really cool. I'm happy that they are doing us justice over there.
Do you want to give the Garage 56 crew a shout out? Because in the NASCAR.com article, we got their names.
If you want to.
We got the French translation for dog queued up, so we might as well use it.
The crew includes Dawson Backus, the front tire changer.
Chien.
Mike Moss, the rear tire changer.
What are you doing over there?
What is that?
It's a French word for dog.
Can you just say it?
Chien.
That's not cool.
That is not
it's
cool.
It's like a car flying by.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like it one bit.
I don't like French dogs.
Chien.
I got a French bulldog. I don't even like him anymore.
Okay. Well, you just totally.
Do you want me to do it again? Or
hit the kill switch on him?
Yeah, just pull.
Yeah. There's a guy named Cody French.
Cody French.
Yeah.
That's fitting.
Yeah. Chien. And then Jarius Moorhead.
Those guys are all dogs.
They were all dogs.
Good for them. Thanks for
representing us well over there.
Thanks for representing any of those other pit crew guys in the world that want the smoke, come get it.
We right here.
We right here. That's all I got. This week, Sonoma, couple pit stops, make them
no
make
more,
them good.
No more, none of that.
No stage breaks.
Flipping, yeah.
I like that.
I like that too.
You know what one of my favorite things in the sport was when I just liked when, and I don't, you know, who it was. I like Rodney Childers and the 19 guys as well, but when, what was his name? Cole Pern. When he faked them out, pit this time and
all time move
came, and then he stay out like he,
yeah,
he got them, he faked them out, and I love that. Yeah, I loved every bit of that, so that was cool. Hated it for Rodney, but
what was the reason why he did that?
He
to caught, draw him down pit road.
Yeah, he drew the four car down pit road, so they were the they were listening to them. Right, the four car was scanning them, and he knew that like if they pit, I got to cover.
Yeah.
Because that way they won't have a tire advantage. So he called him down pit road, and then they pitted and he stayed out.
They had code words.
Yep, and he stayed out. Well, they were like far enough in front of him where, right, and you commit to pit road.
Right.
And once you commit to pit road, you're committed like well before you get
right
long. So like right when they commit, he's like, stay. And that's like one of the only places you can do it. Because most places you can just turn off.
So he had enough gap to back up and still have a tire advantage. Is that what the reason was?
Yeah, I forget how. I don't know if the caution came out or they just ran longer and came out of the wind and they like duped them. And it was.
I love a good old school dupery.
The time that I've never won there. 17 years ago in there, I never won there. I've always wanted to and thought we had a good shot with Tony one time.
Tony ended up on the tires.
And then he ended up on top of the tires. Ooh. He said, I'm going to need a little help getting down from here.
Hate when that happens.
Hate that.
I remember that race.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
So, that's it.
Can't speed. Can't leave wheels loose. Nope. Gotta be a solid day.
Gonna be a good day.
Work it backwards.
Gotta keep her in between the mustard and the mayonnaise.
Yep.
So.
A little harder of a tire. Tire management's always key
no
there.
No spoiler on these things this week. None.
No. Two Zilch. Inches.
Nada.
2 inches. Penny for your thoughts coming right up next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, Chuck, who are our favorite listeners that fired off some Penny for Your Thoughts questions?
All right, we got a couple this week. Our first one comes from K. Carp Knoll or Kathleen. What is the biggest takeaway you will bring back to your weekly routine in the 7 car after your prep days with HMS this week? You finished in the same place as Chase did last year. Keep your chin up.
Yeah, that's what Sparks actually told me. He's like, hey, funny enough, last 2 years at Gateway, the 7 cars finished dead last, and the 9 cars finished 21st. So we blew up last year, and Chase ran 21st. So that made me feel less Also, what made me feel less is we had very similar setup as the 1, and he ran 22nd, and I ran 21st. So we weren't too far off, just missed it overall. Biggest takeaway, I believe, to our weekly routine is I don't think that – so Sparks and I and Roy, just essentially our competition crew, our small, just the three of us really, are the only three that really have a say in competition or how the car is set up. We don't do the, since we just kind of know everybody's cadence and everybody just kind of talks to each other unstructured, we need to do a better job of structuring pre-race plans and also post-qualifying plans of what we think the balance needs to be, because right now we just fire some texts off of thoughts or just phone calls, and then we get to a place Sunday morning and we're like, okay, we're gonna go with this and this, and then we also need to do a better job of just getting the road crew and pit crew together before the race and just go over a general game plan of what to expect, potentially two tires, potentially this, that, full cans, half cans, one can, definitely some different scenarios there, just to like, nothing's a surprise, right? And everything is touched on at least once. So that was something that, you know, Alan shows really good leadership with his guys being really prepared and ready to go to battle. and just also the level of intensity and focus you have to have with every aspect of whether it's at the simulator, because that's could be the worst tool that you have or the best tool that you have, depending on the week and depending on what sort of feedback and feel that you can give. And just also the intentionality of what the objectives are the weekend, where the nine team and Hendrick overall, right, their objectives going into the weekend is to win. So if they don't, that's the bar in which they measure against, where for us, generally speaking, you know, a win for us is 12th. You know, a Dover for us when we run 14th is a really good executed day. So it's kind of fluid of what a great day is or what we should be shooting for. But I think just a better understanding of like, okay, let's set up a bit more structure, a little more. And that kind of promotes, I think, seriousness a bit more. And then it kind of raises everybody up to that level of what you expect. So some professionalism and some little more structure is what we're going to apply for this week as well as going forward. And we've got an off week, too, to kind of really hone in some details and iron that out. But now also something, too, is, man, I've seen so much stuff that I didn't even know existed in terms of driver input stuff or in terms of race car balance things that I can tell Sparks, like, hey, I think this is valuable. We can go ask. Or I have people that I can contact now, like, okay, give me some of this driver data. And I think they'd be apt to give that to me now that I just know some channels exist. And I think that's some sort of stuff I can start asking for now. Because if you don't know and you don't ask, you're never going to get, unless you're, you know, a key partner. And I don't think that's in the fold for the next couple of years. So got to be a little resourceful.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
That's it. And I think people are willing to give you the grease if you just say, hey, man, give me some of that. Give me that particular driver data. They're like, okay, here you go.
Until you beat them.
The only question that goes unanswered is the one that's not asked.
Wow.
Wisdom.
Yeah. Wisdom.
Merriman's looking at me like he wants
to. Did you have Chinese for lunch?
I did. I did. That was in my fortune cookie.
Yeah, Fuchsia's over here.
Yeah, what else you got?
C. Nichols 43 wants to know, are the wheel nuts on next gen left-hand threaded?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
All the way around
both
the car.
Sides.
Both sides. Yep. They're left-hand threaded both sides of the car. So unlike an Indy car where one side's one way and the other is another, they're left-handed threads all the way around the car.
Something I noticed in that chesty cam that you showed me of that guy on pit road. So is the button, so like old school gun, when it would turn righty tighty lefty loosey, you would hit the right side button and
they made it the same. So
when you want to tighten the wheel up, it's still you're hitting the right side of the gun.
They just changed the way the reverse fell was. Okay. Yep. So it's the same way.
So now when you want to loosen the wheel, button, you're still smacking on the left and hitting it, but it's spinning to the right.
It's just the gun spins just reverse.
Okay.
Yep. It's the same way. So a lot of torque in these guns now, though. You need to go out and do a pit stop.
We should do a stack and penny stop.
I do it every week, so.
Well, you do
fronts. I'll sit there and
coach
watch.
Us.
I'll do rears.
No, I'm going to coach.
You can jack because you're the biggest of all of us, and you can carry tires.
Sean Brennan, well, Alpha Vision here, he'll change. Or Nick.
Did we determine?
Nick's a tear-off guy.
Do we determine who's like I feel like I could change. I might not be able to get up and down.
I would like to see you try to stab that jack and get that sumbitch up.
I've tried it once. It is hard to do.
You could probably just be a gas man.
I was going to say, did you say who's gassing?
He can be the gas man. I'd rather take
it. We're not taking gas.
Yeah, it's no fuel. No fuel. We're trying to keep it light.
Yeah.
All right.
And so who's going to jack?
Higgy.
Higgy can jack.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, that's a squad.
I want to change for sure.
What do you think? You think we could hit, if we had four stops,
yep.
You changing, me changing.
I'm not changing. Sean's changing.
I want to change.
Sean's changing.
I want to change.
You want to change?
Yes.
The problem is, once you get down, you ain't getting back.
We'll
might
probably
be
get a
big,
25.
I'll shock
he's
you.
Changing.
Okay, that's fine.
You think we could do a sub 20?
He wants it.
Yeah, 100%. I think we could probably do a 16 second.
Are you
stop.
Changing?
Yes.
16?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on. If I'm carrying, I have to hit.
I'll be 3 seconds slower than you per side. I think that's generous. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three. Yeah, easy.
Sure.
Yeah, easy peasy, easy peasy. No lemon deal. Squeezy.
I feel like it's difficult, lemon difficult.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not faster, not slower than an 18 second.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Anyway, so wait, you went from 16 to 18. You're just taking 2 second leaps here?
Chuck is clumsy.
I'm saying 25.
No, with him sub 20. We could do get sub 20.
I think we could, but with him changing, I think.
What are you going to do?
Him changing, maybe.
He's definitely maybe a weak link.
25 minutes with him
me?
Changing.
You think
when was
I'm
the last
weak
time
link?
You actually
no
worked
way
out?
What is that?
You got out of bed this morning.
Chuck. Oh, my gosh.
We have the same body type. You work out? That's embarrassing.
This has been good.
What's the next question?
The next question is from Nathan Dillard 92, and he wants to know, what was the last race you attended as just a fan of the sport, not one you competed in? Do you feel like you missed the opportunity to be just a fan and enjoy it from that perspective when you're always competing?
You could definitely get like consumed by it and also get slightly jaded by just being completely drained by the overall pursuit of trying to get better at your craft. So I try to go, and I don't do it enough, but I try to go to late mile races, or I try to go to certain races a couple times a year, you know, not even like an Xfinity race on a Saturday.
Yeah, those don't count.
Those don't count because then you're watching where the lines transition and where the rubber gets laid down. And
I know the last race you went to.
What was it?
It was a street stock race in North Wilkesboro.
Yeah, that was
we
a
were,
lot
like,
of
so
fun.
So happy,
dude.
It was the happiest.
We brought the bus up there, hanging out, watched him run that street stock, watched that late model race with Dale Jr. in it. That was freaking living.
Speaking of bus, where'd you stay this weekend? Did you have your bus up there? No.
No, we stayed at the hotel over there by the
no Blue Green
Bush
up
Stadium
there?
No.
Darn it. Dude, Blue Green's sweet.
They got a sweet deal going on.
Yeah.
Yep. Blue Green Vacations, man. I don't really know if I have a penny stacker of the week. Nobody really stands out. It was like my week was just in a vacuum. A lot of stuff coming at me. I was trying to keep my phone off.
There was a guy there. There's two guys. One guy had I don't know their names. One guy had a big ranch shirt on Sunday. And he made that Corey LaJoy shirt that said, let me drive. I won't make a fool out of you.
I won't make a fool out of you. Like Days of Thunder. And he put LaJoy number 7 on it, on the back. So I forgot that guy's name. Dang it.
A lot of homemade shirts this weekend then. It was the guy that had the homemade NASCAR shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to that guy with the big ranch shirt. Also, Tyler Turner. He always puts a goat on every single one of my Instagram my Instagram posts. He was there this weekend. Shout out to him. Yeah, he was Penny Stacker of the Week. Who's that guy? Oh, that's Tyler Turner there.
Was
he wearing a Flores shirt too?
Yeah. Dude, guy's a stud. He's taking over calling us the Paul Bears. I love it. Yeah, he's not the mean guy that said it, but now he says it. And I'm kind of liking it.
Yeah.
When it comes from a place of admiration, I think it's better than just somebody like.
Well, it's just kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody's got to keep the tradition going.
Take it, flip it to a positive.
Yeah, Paul Bears carried him right to the points lead.
No.
There you go. Yeah, right to the front. That's all I got. Appreciate y'all riding along with me this week. We're going to get back to business this week in that 7, going to Napa Valley. That's all I got today. Thank y'all for taking the ride with me this week. Definitely some ups, some downs, everything in between, and you guys know right where I was at the whole time. But definitely have a long way to go, and we are going to get there 1 week and one penny at a time. So appreciate y'all stacking them with me. So tweet your questions out, hit us, #penny for your thoughts. Also like, download, share, rate, review, all the things. And then tune in this Sunday for Spare Change. We're going to dive in to some rights and lefts for you guys. Thanks for tuning in. This is Stacking Pennies.